stood still. Even the waters, they obeyed His will. And He calmed their storm, just like He will mine. If I'll just remember, He's living inside. And why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry.
I'll call on His name
until the storm passes by. We read in the Bible, as He walked with them, He brought light to their darkness as their ways grew dim. And how great it would be to have His footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time.
And when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll just call on my Master. He always shows up on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on His name.
And why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry.
I'll call on His name
until the storm passes by.
And why should I worry?
Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry.
I'll call on His name
until the storm passes by.
I'll call on His name
until the storm passes by.
Amen. What about that? Wasn't that good? Amen. Amen. Enjoyed that? Say amen. Appreciate that, folks. Amen. Appreciate your choice of song. That's a good song. Amen. Thank the Lord for that good singing tonight. All right, let's everybody get a Bible open now. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, I want to look at verse scripture here this evening. Everybody should know. We're going to do a little Bible study on it tonight, so get your Bibles out. That's what we got your Bible for. You need to study the Bible. You don't only need to read the Bible, you need to study the Bible. And you need to hear the Bible. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. You need to meditate in the Word of God and study the Bible. The Lord said in 2 Timothy 2:15, if you got the right Bible, study to show thyself approved unto God. That word study is not in the new versions. So if you got the right Bible, it says study. Now we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5 here tonight. And everybody look at this verse. Verse 18, great verse. I'll preach on it some other time, but I'm just going to talk tonight. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, with a capital S, Holy Spirit. Command of God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. No substitutes, no counterfeits, no fakes. Really, honestly, being filled with the Spirit. I'm going to talk about that tonight. And I'm not going to preach. We're just going to study a little while so you can help me. I'm just going to teach on this verse tonight. And I preached a sermon. I preached a different sermon on this very subject, and I'll do that at another time. But tonight we're just going to look at some truth. I remember hearing old Billy Kelly. Billy was preaching today on the radio, and he had a drinking problem before he got saved. And he got saved, and he said not long after he got saved, he's walking down the street in Florida, about the middle of Florida, and it's 99 degrees, and it's 100 degrees, about 100 degrees out there in the middle of July. And he said this guy was sweeping the sidewalk and of a bar. And he said, man, he walked by, and he smelled that alcohol and that smell. Boy, I'm telling you, he said the devil come up beside him. And he said, here's the way the devil works. You've probably had him do you like this. He said he's walking up that street, and the devil come up beside him and said, sure is hot, ain't it? You ever heard the devil say that? He said, it sure is. The devil gets you agreeing with him first, you know. And he said he walked a little bit further, and the devil said, you're a long way from home, ain't you? He said, yeah, I sure am. He said he walked a little bit farther, and the devil said, just one little drink wouldn't hurt, would it? That's the way he gets you, see? And he said, I thought, well, if I take one, I'd drink a boatload before I got out of there. And he said, I couldn't stop with one. And he said, I felt the Lord down inside me. And he said, I quoted, greater is he that's within me, than he that's in the world. And he said, I went right by that place singing Amazing Grace, like that. And that's what you're supposed to do. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And tonight, I want to hit this from a different angle than you're going to hear it on TV or on the radio. I'm going to give you seven things, I probably might not get to them all, about the way, when you're filled with the Spirit, seven things at least will manifest themselves in your life. None of which you hear mentioned a whole lot in a lot of these TV ministries. And so when you're really filled with the Spirit, it will produce some things in your life. Right. And every one of us ought to ask God to fill us with His Spirit. Now, you are only baptized with Spirit one time. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. But you're filled with the Spirit many, many times. We should ask the Lord daily, Lord, fill me with the Spirit. God, fill me with the Spirit. God, fill me with the Spirit. And if you are, seven things will be manifest in your life. No fakes. You can't put this stuff on. You can try it, but it don't work. Number one. You ready? If you want to write these down in the back of your Bible or whatever. Number one. You know the Spirit, the way you know somebody's filled with the Spirit? Others can see Jesus in you.
You're right.
Amen? Other people can see Jesus in you. Other people. You know, over there one time, them apostles come down there one time, and they went down there, and they come down there, and the Bible said, and they had been with Jesus. And they could tell. You can tell when somebody's been with Jesus. Years ago, when I got saved up there at Nebo Baptist Church, when I got saved, there's a woman in that church named Mrs. Edwards. And she was a very, very godly woman. She's an elderly lady. She fasted 3 days. 3 days and three nights. Didn't eat a bite. Praying for all the young people up there in Nebo. And when she got through fasting 3 days and three nights, she said, God said, go three more. She went 6 days and nights without a bite of food, no nourishment, and physical whatsoever. And when she prayed 6 days and nights, the Holy Ghost fell on Nebo. That's the revival I got saved in. Over 150 kids got saved in the revival I got saved. I was 18. Later, the next few weeks, I began to get to know Miss Edwards. And we just thought, me and my buddies, we thought she was a saint. And she was. We thought, I'm telling you, when we'd get around her, it looked like she glowed. I know she probably didn't, but it looked like it. I mean, you could see the Lord all over her. How many of you ever been around somebody, you could just see Jesus in them? Oh, of course you have. Yeah, we all have. And you just, that's evidence of being filled with the Spirit right there. People can see Jesus in you. I had a guy tell me here the other day, God's been coming to church. He said, my mother-in-law goes to church on Sunday night and does all kind of stuff, he said, and does this on Sunday night at church. So he's filled with the Spirit and then pops Vicodins and Percocets all day on Monday. And I said, she's a drug addict. And he said, just being jumping around here, shouting, running the aisle, something like that. I do all that. I believe in all that. But that don't prove you're filled with the Spirit. What proves you're filled with the Spirit? People see Jesus Christ on you. You're right with God. And buddy, I'm telling you something tonight, that you could see Jesus on Miss Edwards. And sometimes we'd come into church and we'd come in, we're just 18, 15, 16, 17, me and all these guys that got saved, and she'd come up with her Bible like this and she'd say, "Hey, Danny." And she'd put her hand and just rub my hand like that. And she wasn't doing it trying to be flirty or not. She was doing it like, "Oh, you precious little boys got saved." And she'd rub my hand. I thought, "Oh my goodness, I can't never sin again. You know, I can't never sin again. Miss Edwards put her blessings on me." She made you feel like that. Somebody's got the Lord on them, make you feel like that. Matter of fact, somebody got the Lord on them, you just get under conviction just being around them. Miss Kerr does me like that. She always been, you know, Miss Kerr, and I can name a bunch of other people. We got some in our church that, you know, they live right. They're filled with the Spirit of God, and you're sort of nervous around them. You know, I know people sometimes see the preacher, and the only time they ever see the preacher is when I'm preaching. I was going to eat with somebody one time. They was going to have me over for dinner, and we got over there, and the mama told me, she said, "Now, at morning church, she said, 'Now, he's scared to death you're coming over to my house,' talking about her little kid." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "He's scared to death of you." I said, "Well, I ain't never done nothing to that kid." And then I thought, the only time that kid ever seen me was when I was doing just what I'm doing right now. He thought I was going to come in and say, "Hey, boy, get out of God, get up your room, you sorry good." You know, I mean, he thought that's all I ever did was preach. And I probably should have done that to him. But you know what? He had this idea. I mean, they saw him one time and they said, "Oh, Brother Danny, I've never seen you in a t-shirt. And I was more of McGrath or something." I said, "Well, you think I sleep in a suit, you know? I think sometimes people think of you like that. The only time I don't sleep in a suit, Lord, I'm jerking this thing off as soon as I get home, I promise you." Amen. I want you to know it, when people live for God, you can feel it when you're around them. You're right. You can feel it when you're around them. If you're filled with the Spirit, brother, you live in a certain way. You love people in a certain way. People see Him in you. You see, the Holy Spirit, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? Third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So if you're full of the Spirit, you're full of Jesus. Amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? I'm not talking about these people that shout at church and wave their hands, say hallelujah, and then cuss their husband on the way home or their wife. What about that one woman? She was a real good Christian, and she's going to kill her husband, and she shot him with a bow and arrow so she wouldn't wake kids up. You know, didn't want to get the gun out. She wanted to have respect for her children. That's a good Christian woman there. Amen. You got that good Samaritan. You know the story of the good Samaritan. There's three men come down the road. Guy fell in the ditch and got beat up. The first one came down, and he was a Levite. And he went over on the other side and passed down. The second one was a Pharisee. And he went on the other side and passed down. Third one was the good Samaritan. He said the first man come down, and he said, the robbers first. The robbers got him and beat him up. There's three kinds of people. The robbers beat him up, took what he had. The Levite and the priest just didn't fool with him, but the Samaritan helped him. There's the man that was full of Jesus. Listen, people, anybody can put on a good front at church, but it's what you are out there in the grocery store, at the post office, at work. Can I get a witness there? Amen? That's right. Now, listen, the good Samaritan fell among thieves. The first group said, "What's yours is mine." Beat him up and robbed him. The second group come by and said, "What's mine is mine," and walked on. The third man come down and said, "What's mine is yours," and helped him and shared with him. Amen? That's why I pick up hitchhikers. That's why I wouldn't. I'm not telling you to. You do what God tells you to. I do. I always have. You say, "Ain't you scared?" Yeah, I'm scared not to. I'm scared not to do what the Lord wants me to do. And if I get killed by one, that's like them people, you know, I'll go to heaven. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Jesus in you. People see Jesus in you. How long has it been since somebody just said, now I've had a few tell me that, and I'm a sorry Christian, I'm the bottom of God, the barrel for God. But I had a lady tell me one time, she said, Brother Danny, when you was up there preaching, she said it was like a glow around your head. I don't know if she's hallucinating or been drunk or what. But she said like it. And sometimes, I remember hearing old Larry Winkler preach one time, and I was sitting about right over here, and he was up there preaching, and he got into a high gear. And buddy, I mean, he was preaching the glory. He's a glory preacher. And he slung around there one time, started preaching about the Lord, and all of a sudden, have you ever had this happen? For just a minute, I didn't even see him. All I could see was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got a glimpse. That's the way real preaching is. That's the way a real Christian is. When you don't see them, you see Jesus. Y'all don't need to see me. See the Lord that I'm talking about tonight. Look past me. If I'm all you see, you missed what we come for tonight. Look past me and see Him. Can anybody, I'm not going to preach tonight, I'm just talking. Can anybody give us an example of somebody in your life that you have seen Jesus in? Grandma, Papa, an old man of God, young man of God, anybody, right quick. Give us one right quick. Miss Dottie. Oh, I'm sorry, Kendra.
She goes to church every Sunday and everything
like
that. When I see her, I just see that God is in her.
Amen. Amen, sister. Anybody else?
Dr. Sumner went and preached a couple of revivals at the old Trinity Baptist Church down here about 20 years ago.
Yep.
And he would come in. He's one of the few that I've ever seen walk in of evangelists. He'd take his automobile and go out and sit the hickory. The following day, he'd bring somebody in.
Amen.
Next day, he'd bring somebody in.
Amen.
And you can walk up to people like that and stuff. I've seen that more than him. I've seen Jerry Farwell up and announce that the head of the best basketball man in the country is going to be there, and there's 6,000 preachers. And he and I said that this man's going to be saved this week. And Jerry Farwell got on a plane and went to California. Summer went, led him to Christ.
Is that right? Amen. Boy, it's something you can't fake. You don't just walk in your house and say, all right, kids, you see Jesus in me. That ain't the way it works.
That was Pancho Garcia that used to be a...
Pancho Garcia was the best basketball player?
Tennis player.
That don't sound right. Pancho Garcia don't sound like a basketball player. Maybe he was. I don't know. You never know. Oh, some other... Soccer, maybe? Anybody else, right quick?
Tennis.
Yeah, maybe tennis. That may be right. Anybody else, right quick? Now, y'all don't know nobody godly? Chanel. That hurts my feelings. Yeah.
They don't like to be around me. Even my kids.
That's right. That's right.
They'll say things about the Lord and
Amen. Yeah, yeah. Well, they should be. They should be. Jesus made the Pharisees uncomfortable. Jesus made people, and you know, a lot of times we get this idea of, well, we don't want to make nobody uncomfortable. If you're right with God, you're going to make somebody uncomfortable. There's something wrong with you if they're all comfortable around you. And I'm not talking about going in with this self-righteous, pharisaical attitude. I know if Jesus is on you, it's going to make somebody uncomfortable. Supposed to. Supposed to. They let him out one time over the brow, throw him over a ditch. We're going to try to kill him. Anybody else? Right quick, before I give you another fruit, proof of being spirit. All right? Here's you one. Number two. Here's a way you know somebody's filled with Spirit. You ready? You will love the Bible. You will love the Bible. Listen, a baby wants milk. A kid wants food. There's something wrong with a baby if it don't want milk. Any of you mamas that's got a baby, if that baby just quit drinking milk and quit eating food, you'd take it to the doctor. And there's something wrong with a Christian that has no desire for that book right there.
Right.
Something's wrong. Somebody's out of touch. You don't tell me you're filled with the Spirit and throw your Bible in the back seat of the car and leave it there and don't pick it up till next Sunday. I see people come into church and lay their Bible down, and it the ends of it go up like that right there where it's been laying in the sun all week in the back glass. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. You will love the Word of God. There is no such thing as being filled with the Spirit and having no desire or love for that Bible. It's the greatest thing there is. Matter of fact, it is Jesus. This is the written word. He's the living word. This is Jesus Christ on paper. This is the closest thing you'll ever get to God that you can touch in this world. And by the way, this is the only thing in the world you can touch that's perfect. That's it. Everything else got something wrong with it. This has got something wrong with it. That's got something wrong with it. Church got something wrong with it. I got something wrong. Everything in the world you can touch. The Catholic Church, they have all these relics and stuff, you know, that are supposed to be holy, and they got them in glass cases and stuff like that. Listen, that stuff ain't worth a dime. This right here is the only thing you can touch that's holy and perfect. And there's something wrong with a person who has no desire for the Bible. Amen? The Holy Spirit don't lead you to change the Bible. The Holy Spirit leads you to read the Bible and believe the Bible. Amen? A little kid come in one time and said, he had heard a preacher say it. He said, Mama, is this God's book? And she said, yes, it is, son. And he said, well, we better send it back to him because nobody around here reads it. And that's sad, isn't it? Isn't that sad? Our kids ought to know that's the main book in our life. Our kids ought to see that book laying on the coffee table. Our kids, you can go to my house right now, unless, let's see, I believe we have right now, every room of our house has a Bible in it. Laying on the nightstand, and somewhere you can find a Bible. They need to know this house believes the Bible. I have a big verse of scripture, this big, over my fireplace. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Anybody that comes to my house, you say, well, don't you think that's a little overboard and fanatical? Nope, not at all. Not at all. It's God's Word. He made the world, the universe. We're going to give an account to Him. We're going to live with Him forever and ever and ever. It is not being overboard to put that. Matter of fact, God told them in the Old Testament, He said, you put them up where your children can see them, where they can see them going in, where they can see them coming out, where they see it in the morning. You tell it to them in the morning. You tell them to them at night. You pray with them kids. Listen, my mom set me and my sisters on her lap when I was little, about that high, and she opened that big old Bible and told us about Jonah and the whale, Noah and the ark, and I ain't never forgot it. And when I got out in sin, my mom's words rang in my ears, people. I knew there was a God. I knew there's a heaven. I knew there's a hell. Because mom put the Word of God in me when I was little. And you can't beat that book right there. You can't beat it. You can't beat that book. The Holy Spirit don't lead a man. Like I heard one the other day, get on the radio and say, now, this word here in the King James Bible is not really this. In the original Greek, it says the Holy Spirit don't lead a man to do that.
Right.
He don't lead you to correct the Bible. He leads you to believe it.
That's right.
Amen? First of all, there ain't no such thing as the original Greek. Nobody that you know has ever seen the original Greek. The original Greek was disappeared thousands of years ago. All they have now is different sets and lines of manuscripts. And the God-honored text of this book right here is the text that God has blessed all down through the years. You've heard me teach on it. You've heard me preach on it. But we need to nail it down once in a while, because you'll get to listen to these fellows on the radio so much, and you think, well, they're a great preacher, and she's a great writer, and they don't know. Yeah, and your Bible says great men are not always wise. Just because a person's great don't mean they know everything. I believe we've got the book God intended for us to have in English. Amen? If I really believed that all the Word of God was Greek, I'd be sad, man, because that means I got to go to school bad. I'd love to go learn Greek. I'd go learn Greek. If I believed the Bible, the Word of God was Greek, I'd go learn Greek, and then I'd make a bunch of copies of it, and I'd give all y'all one, and we'd teach it on Wednesday night, and we'd all have to learn Greek. But I believe we got it in English. We have the Word of God in English.
Amen,
preserved. Preserved. And if you don't have the Word of God, you know what you got? Your opinion. You got your opinion. If we don't have a Bible we can trust, all you got is your opinion. And opinion's like armpits. Everybody got two, and they both stink. That's right. You'll love the Bible. The Bible. All right? Anybody help me out with that right there before we move on to number three? Won't have to hurry. I'll never get to all these seven. We'll do it next Wednesday. Yep, that's right. Amen. I still believe that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I still believe that. I don't lay nothing on top of my Bible. We don't come in the Bible, you have a Bible, then a stack of magazines on it that high. That's disrespectful. This is God's book. It's God's book, y'all. I heard the other day, now I'm not sure about this, but I've heard it over and over and over. Some of y'all might know stories. Who was it? Somebody told us the other day, somebody's house burned, and everything in the house burned, and their Bible's laying right there in the living room, wasn't even touched. I've heard that over and over and over. Now I know somebody might say, well, but I'm telling you, I've heard that from different sources for 30 years. About somehow that's a supernatural book. Well, it is, and I don't believe you ought to lay stuff on top of it either. I believe it's disrespectful to treat the Bible like some people treat their Bible. The way you're filled with the Spirit, you got a hunger for that right there. Let me give you one more, and I'll cut this one in half, and we'll go. Number three, you will be involved in service. If a man's filled with the Spirit of God, he's going to get in the service for the Lord. Woman, man, anybody, I don't care. You, God don't fill you with the Spirit, but you can sit there and do nothing. You can sit on the premises, you know, and instead of standing on the promises, you're sitting on the premises. God does not fill you with the Spirit to sit there like a knot on a log. He wants you to do something. Old preacher used to say, God never made a rabbit. He didn't have a hole for him to run in. God never made a possum. He didn't have a tree for him to climb. And God never saved anybody that he didn't have something for them to do. Amen? Now, you will be involved in the service. I read some illustrations. I don't have time to get to all of them, but one preacher said it like this. You know, said, "Well, we're going to go to worship service this morning." The truth is, this is not service. You enter in here to worship. You leave here to serve. Service begins when you leave here. Really, technically, if you don't, I mean, I know what people mean. We say we got good service and all that. But really, service starts when we get out of here.
Right.
We enter to worship, leave to serve, enter to preach and pray. Matter of fact, if you want to get real scriptural about it, I can help you do that. I'm very, very scriptural in my head. If I'm not scriptural on something, y'all straighten me out. In the New Testament, there are no public worship services. There's preaching service and evangelistic services. Worship must be done by yourself and at home and everything. I'm not against it, and I'm not saying they didn't worship. I'm just saying they met to preach and pray and see people saved and teach. We preach and pray and teach, and you worship God everywhere. You can worship Him anywhere. At home, in the car, out mowing the grass, washing the dishes, you can worship God anywhere. And the only place you can worship God at church, you ain't right. You ain't right. You got some kind of counterfeit, buddy. You ain't got the right thing. I'll never forget, I read James Dobson, and everybody here is familiar with Dr. James Dobson, the Focus on the Family guy, and he said they met with their board. I guess they had, you know, lots of people, employees and stuff. And Dr. Dobson said this. He's a smart man. He said, we never met and said, how can we get this ministry to grow? He said, we met and said, how can we meet the needs of people? That's the right attitude. That's why we have a book. You don't never hear me get up here and say, we got to figure out some way to get our church to grow. My motive is not to get the church to grow. Our motive is to help people. You help people and your ministry will grow. You don't use people to build your ministry. You use your ministry to build people. You help individuals. I help. You know how you build a church? Helping this person here, that person there, this person here, that person there. And little by little, it starts piling up. That's what explain it. I know churches right now that meet, a lot of Baptist churches, and they said, man, we got to figure out some way to grow. Let's, well, we've got $200,000 in the bank. Let's build a family life center. Let's do this. Let's just do anything and get people in here. That's the wrong motive. If they'd take that $200,000 and buy them a bunch of buses and tracks and put out missionaries and go knocking on doors and hit the community, they'd see a church grow. You don't worry about grow. Worry about people. You go after people. God, that's what Jesus did. He was interested in people, individuals, rich people, poor people, little people, big people, handicapped people, deaf people, blind people. It don't matter if they got any money. It don't matter if they don't smell as good as we do. It don't matter if they don't look as good as some people do. We ought to care about people, 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 people. That's what the Lord died for. I've heard people say, well, we don't want these dirty people coming in here messing up our beautiful church. Listen, that place ought to be burnt if it don't care about people. It ain't a church. It ain't even a church if it don't care about people. There is nobody too bad to come in here. And there's nobody too good to stay home. Amen. All right, I'll get off preaching if I ain't careful there. But I like what old, you say, well, preacher, it's hard to get people to come to church. I like what they said. Old David said that time one time. They said, David, don't go fight that giant. That giant's too big to hit. And he said, no, he's too big to miss. That's all right. He's too big to miss. You can't miss that big dude. And that's where our task is. It's not too big to hit, he's too big to miss. All right. I'm going to stop right there. Next Wednesday night, we'll take the rest of these things on the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. All right? Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Miss Desi, I want you to come play softly this evening. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. And let's take just a minute here tonight and search our hearts. Let's search our own heart. Let's be honest and sincere and say, dear Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. She's playing tonight. You let God speak to your heart. You confess. If you want to come to the altar and pray right now, you can. If you want to stay right there at your seat and pray, you can.